volume low?
I think. It sounds kind of low. Well, is my volume low?
Your volume is kind of low.
Huh. Okay, well, we'll try that. How's that?
Yep.
And I will try boosting yours as well. So I'm on another recording interface.
And why is that?
Well, like I was saying last week, I had to go through a couple because I upgraded computers and a lot of my hardware was old.
Mm-hmm.
So even the one that worked last week was, I'm still kind of clutching it a little bit. So after we were talking last week, I decided to buy a small Focusrite one.
Oh, yeah.
From the Sapphire range. It's just one of those 2i2s. Because I could have got a solo, but I like the idea of having two actual inputs instead of a line and a mic input separate. But it seems to be working okay. These things are tiny now. I mean, I guess as electronics have gotten more efficient, and they are also gearing stuff for mobile users because it's all USB powered and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you were just looking at it top side down, it's like about the dimensions of a big phone. And then, I mean, it's thicker than that because it has to come.
No, that is really small.
Jacks and stuff, but it's really tiny. It's the tiniest actual desktop box interface unit I've had yet. Mm-hmm. But so it seems to actually be recording though, which is good.
Yeah, that would be bad otherwise.
Yeah. And, so. Happy belated birthday!
Thank you. I got real depressed for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my birthday, I don't like my birthday. I don't associate my birthday with good things.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I don't know why I didn't think about it until this year that I'm only 3 years away from being 50.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds insane to me.
A little bit.
That is insane to me.
It doesn't.
I mean, I could grasp 40 in my head more than I can grasp 50. And 40 seemed bad.
Well, I'm only a year behind you.
Yeah. 50, dude. That doesn't make sense.
It's weird because I mean, it's like a lot of things, you know. For me, when I was growing up, there were things I expected at certain ages, I guess.
I'm way over that. I'm, you know me, I'm more concerned about what I have left.
Well, right.
I'm not really concerned about where I'm going or what I need to accomplish.
Well, no, the only reason
I do try to do work as much as I can because of my irrational fear of 50 being the end, but.
Well, I mean, when it's something that's happened a lot in your family, I don't know if that's entirely irrational.
Thank you. You are the only person that's ever said that. Well, everybody else says I'm being crazy.
I mean, you know, you've got probably a better chance than like your grandparents did of living past that because of just the way medical things are now, but. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not irrational. My dad was, he's kind of surprised he's the oldest male, in his direct family right now.
Yeah.
And,
why do we always talk about real depressing stuff? I'm surprised anybody listens to this, though.
Well, it's not like we're being morose about it or anything.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, some people would consider this morose that we're even talking about it.
Morbid, maybe, but.
Morbid and morose aren't the same thing?
No, morose is sort of like talking about, Eeyore.
Oh, okay.
Morbid.
I've been accused of that.
Well, I can see that. Sometimes you lapse into Eeyore tonality.
Well, I guess just the way I talk.
Sort of laconic.
Yeah.
Must be that Southern in you.
Maybe. Although it's really embarrassing to be a Southerner these days. I'm glad I live up here.
The reason I was bringing up just expectations, I guess, of age stuff wasn't necessarily to, talk about where I'm at in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I always expected to feel a certain way.
Yeah, that's definitely true, because I do not feel the age I am.
Right.
Not, physically I feel crappy, but, I mean, mentally, I do not like, when I notice how bad my body feels, it actually scares me because I'm like, I'm only 25 years old. This doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if I could ignore or didn't have, like, the, just the natural things that happen as your body ages, mm-hmm. I mean, I've got to believe that I've got it somewhat more together than I did when I was in my teens or early 20s.
Yeah, I know I do. I mean, I was a mental wreck when I was that age. Like, I was very neurotic then, and it's more of a, you know, it's more, it, that's what's turned into the grumpiness that you know today, is that I was just so stressed out about the way things need to be, and now I'm like, fuck, it's never going to be like that. So why am I always stressing myself out? You know,
yeah.
That only happened in the last like 10, 15 years though.
I gotta wonder, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I had some messy spots in my 30s. My 40s have been pretty calm, but yeah, I don't know. I just don't really feel like I don't know how to say this without just saying I'm immature or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really... I
mean, it's easy to think that.
I don't feel that much different than I did when I was in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions have changed. I've got more information now than I did then. And I know I've got it more together because I'm actually holding down a mortgage and things like that, mm-hmm. which I probably wouldn't have handled very well in my 20s. But, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like... Like, I expected when I was a kid that once I hit, you know, 40s going on 50... that I would feel like my grandpa or something. Or, you know, like, but then I think back on it, I'm like, well, shit, my grandpa.
You look like your grandpa.
No, I probably look
you're
better. I look
old
better.
And
yeah.
You're older.
Hush.
Sorry. Did you like how I had to, like, butt in to remind you, like, you weren't getting what I was saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know, and I kept talking over it.
Mm-hmm. You like that? Like how I was doing that?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Good stuff there.
So stupid.
But I'm thinking about my grandfather, and I mean, both of them, when they were in their 40s, were, you know, they spent, like, days in bars and stuff like that. So it's, I mean, I guess, actually, my grandparents weren't as old as they weren't what I thought was old when they were old, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Because, I mean, hell, I don't even spend days in bars. Like,
that kind of sounds, I've had great days in bars.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I don't do it anymore. I just don't. But. I do kind of miss that sometimes.
Usually they're special occasions. I don't spend days in bars. I think I spent a day in a bar on St. Patrick's Day many years ago. That's the day I met John Entwistle from The Who. Mm. That was a day in a bar. I was at Murphy's. And then there was a day that I spent in the Kit Kat Club or the the Fat Cat or... Kitty Cat. It's a karaoke bar on Bourbon Street in New Orleans.
Hmm.
And you can just sit there and watch people karaoke all day. And it's like 3-for-1 beers. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm not moving. So I didn't.
Yeah, that's a perfectly good reason not to.
Yeah, it was great. That was a great day.
I mean, or even just sitting around in like bowling alleys and shit. Like, I just don't get out and do that kind of stuff anymore. But anyway. So, for anybody who hasn't been keeping score, Mike's like 99 now.
Mm-hmm. You didn't introduce the show.
Oh, hey, welcome to week 763 of the Crankcast.
The show is just as old as I am.
Yep. Well, yeah, no, it's younger. By a lot, because Mike's really old. And my birthday present to Mike this year was not making him record on his birthday yesterday.
Oh, that's nice of you. I was expecting to.
I thought about it.
I really didn't work very much yesterday. I kind of took the day off and I practiced my guitar a little bit. And
you pampered yourself.
I pampered myself by not doing anything. My wife, Julie, made it a very nice day. She got me some very nice, thoughtful presents, and the best on top of it is she ordered Pequod's, and we went and picked it up.
Oh, nice.
And that, I haven't had it in you know, forever. Because we usually do it at C2E2, and we didn't do it this year.
Oh, right. So it's been longer than normally would have anyway.
Yeah. Because I don't eat a lot of pizza these days.
Yeah.
Unless it's cauliflower crust pizza, and that shit is bogus.
Might as well just be eating on mashed potatoes.
Oh, my God. There's so many pizza substitutes I've... And they all suck. They all suck.
Yeah, I just might as well be eating a pizza filling in a bowl.
That's essentially what it is. I mean, the only thing that makes it pizza is the topping, in these cases, you know.
Yeah, if you can't pick it up and, like, fold a slice and eat it like that, it's not really a pizza.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's sad. But it was a nice day. It was a nice day. I didn't buy. I was thinking about getting crazy. I was like, well, Mike, it's your birthday. You should go and buy another guitar. And then, normal Mike went, Mike, you should probably learn to play the guitar first.
Well, you know, if you've got them all there, then
yeah,
they're all ready for you when you,
Cause
that's how that works, right? I mean, honestly.
So I haven't done it. And, yeah. Some of these jobs that I technically still have should start paying me first before I start spending money.
Oh, well, if you're going to think practically about it, sure. Yeah. Oh, and Julie took a lovely picture that she posted on Instagram of you yesterday.
Yeah, she takes very good pictures. I do not take good pictures, which I find very interesting because she doesn't think of herself as creative.
Right.
And I keep telling her that she's very good at it and that she should, like, take a class. But she never does. She never agrees to it. She wanted to do that glass blowing thing, but I don't know. I mean, why she won't do photography?
Yeah, that is weird. Because I mean, it's not like she could just take up glass blowing at home.
Yeah, but she's really good at it.
I mean, I guess she could take up glass blowing at home.
Yeah.
I have a friend that does, like, what do you call it? Ceramic work, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has a big kiln that she fires stuff in and whatnot.
Yeah, I was like, those are big and expensive.
Yeah, I've got a friend who does that. She makes, like, pottery, that's what she does. And it makes, you know, things like decoration stuff and useful stuff like utensils, like glasses or cups and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But she does that from her home. I mean, granted, her kiln's not, like, huge, but it's still a kiln, you know?
She likes crafty stuff. I mean, she could probably get into that, but I don't know. She's been making these masks, you know, these.
Yeah, I saw that, man. She made a lot.
She made a lot. She's been working on them a lot. She's made me a bunch of them.
Cool. I've like, struggled just to make enough words. For. I've struggled just to make enough for me and my family. I'm not very good at it, though. It's weird. I mean, talking about the crafty thing, like. I vaguely remember talking about this with you a long time ago, but I'm going to say it again because it's been a while. Like in my grandparents' day, and even when my parents were kids, it was normal for just non-artist people to do, mm-hmm. like, creative stuff or artsy stuff. You know, they'd paint simple paintings in their living room or whatever. You know, they'd be, like, amateur photographers.
I think it still is. It's just not...
I don't know.
People do it more than you think.
I mean... Okay, granted there's some bias here because I actually know artists, and that's mostly who I know, are people that are musicians and artists and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it still seems to me that a lot of people that don't consider themselves actual artists of some sort, don't seem to do as much as like my grandparents did, as recreational art, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where they would just make things or whatever. And I know not everybody did it then either, but that used to be like a normal thing to have like sort of a...
I think it's a little bit, you're probably remembering it a little different, and everybody's on the computer now. They don't need to do anything anymore.
Well, yeah.
The computer has taken us over.
And I mean, everybody's got a camera in their phone, so everybody's a photographer, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I guess if you're posting your pictures on Snapchat or Instagram or something, you're probably a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I don't think people consider it like that anymore. Like, consider it being like an artsy side thing or something.
Hobbies, you mean?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, people still have hobbies, right? They build models and things, don't they?
You don't think that's in the same vein?
I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean,
if you listen to the guys at the studio, because, like, Jim and Addison both make models.
Okay.
They're always talking about the paints that they're going to get and how you, you know, weather stuff and things like that.
Yeah, but they're already artists. Like,
true.
They do art anyway. Like,
but this is a hobby. They don't do this for a living.
Right. But they also are artists for a living. This is just art that they do recreationally. It's not like they're bankers and then have an art thing. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I'm not really trying to prove a point or anything. It just seems to me that it's not as much of a thing as it was in earlier generations is all.
I don't know. I take walks in the neighborhood, and there are lots of handmade signs in the windows. I feel like there's a lot of people making art right now.
I'm trying to think if I mean, I guess if you define hobby as anything you do that doesn't make you money, then
you do it for it's recreational. That's hobby.
What's the difference between recreational and making something because you like it?
That's exactly the same thing. That's recreational, doing it for fun.
So, I mean, the only difference there is that you're getting paid for art.
Yes.
Right?
Recreational and professional.
Well, then that's why I said, defining hobby as being anything you do that you're not getting paid for. Well, I guess that you do on a regular basis that you're not getting paid for.
I'm confused because I didn't know we were arguing about it.
Well, that's what I said at first, and then you defined it as something else, and then I said, okay, whatever.
Oh, I don't remember doing that. I think you're remembering that wrong.
Now
we're arguing.
Let me just back up. All I'm saying is, I guess if you define it as that.
You should back up. You should apologize, actually. Apologize to me.
I'm not going to apologize to you. It's not your birthday anymore.
Oh, I knew everything was going to suck now.
Hey.
I woke up and told Julia, like, it's not good anymore.
364 days from now.
Yeah. Oh, well. It was good while it lasted.
Okay.
For a brief 24 hours, people liked and respected me.
I apologize, Mike.
No, why do you do that? You didn't need to apologize. I was messing with you.
Well, I just wanted to give you a birthday thing.
Oh, that's sweet.
I forgot what. Oh, yeah. So what I'm saying is, I guess I have hobbies. I mean, I guess my music's
do
my
you?
I guess my music's my hobby.
Yeah.
Because I technically, I mean, I've made some money off of my music, but I don't really make money off of my music.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, to me, that's not a hobby, though. I mean, I take it as seriously as I take. Does attitude define hobby?
Yeah. Some people, you know, there are people that have hobbies and jobs. Some people, you could almost define a third category, which is maybe a calling, like something that you're driven to do. But you don't necessarily have to make a job out of it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So something that not only do you enjoy doing it, but you actually work hard at it.
Yes.
And you're like, doing it because not just for recreation.
Drawing comics is my calling because I would be doing this even if I wasn't getting paid for it.
Okay. Well, okay. Given that definition, I don't know that I actually have hobbies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. I play video games. I guess that's a hobby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do play video games occasionally. I'm afraid to because I'm afraid to get sucked up into them because those become more
real. Yeah, I haven't been playing them as much lately because I was like, every time I have a spare moment, I'm like, you should be practicing.
Yeah.
Learn to play.
Video games become more of an obsession with me than a...
Sure, once you get into them, I am very into them. Like, I started playing The Last of Us again. I got the remastered because I think it's just graphics and they added the DLC that they released and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But, like, they're putting out the new one early because I think something about hackers got their hands on a copy because it was supposed to come out next year.
Oh, wow.
And so it's, like, coming out next month now.
Yeah, I thought they were going to release it when the new system came out.
Yeah. But... they figured, so I'm going to play it again just so I'll be ready. And it, because I've played it before, I'm not as, like, intense into it trying to, you know, get things done. So it's been very slow going.
Yeah. That is one of the only games like that, like a story game,
Mm-hmm.
That I've actually played more than once.
Really?
Yeah. Most of the story type games, like, once I get done with them, I mean, I guess maybe I might revisit them in like 10 years or something.
Yeah.
But,
it's definitely the only game that I've played twice, because I don't usually play games twice. So I'm playing, this is my second time. No, I take that back. I was playing Saints Row at the studio. Like, Saints Row 4.
Like, with games like that, I don't get into just playing them on a harder level again.
I don't like playing that, doing that.
I mean, I know there are people that do that. Like, they'll complete the game on one level and then just replay the whole thing again. Like,
yeah, Josh Evans does that.
And that doesn't really thrill me much, because I'm not... With those kind of games, it's not the challenge of it that I really give a shit about, I guess.
Yeah.
I like the story. So it's like reading a book or something to me, but an interactive book.
Actually, Josh Emmons starts out on the most difficult.
Oh, yeah. No, I mostly always pick the easiest level just to play it.
Can you hear this asshole? He has been the worst the last couple of days. He is just trying to let me know he is not happy right now. It's so annoying. He does it at night, too. Me and Julie haven't been getting any sleep.
Oh, no, you don't crate him. You crate Mo, right?
We crate Mo.
Yeah. Okay, I was trying to remember.
Ninja would start howling if we crated him.
Did you ever crate Ninja?
No. We tried when he was a puppy, and it was heartbreaking. I couldn't do it, so I let him sleep in the bed with me.
All right, okay.
And Julie hated it, every minute of it.
Little
she hates. She hates dogs in the bed, which I think is just un-American.
So, why does she let you sleep in there?
Very good point, mein Freund.
But Last of Us. Sorry, we're talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. I played that game a total of 4 times all the way through.
Really? Wow.
I think I did play it on...
That's like Smallville numbers.
I did play it again on the... one of the times, at least. I played it on the next hard level. I went from easy to normal, I think.
Wow.
But, I mean, I liked that game that much that I actually played it. Not back to back to back or anything. This was over the course of, like, a year, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played that game like 4 times through.
Oh, the new version, I think the remastered has a new, like, face model for Ellie.
Huh.
So she doesn't look as much like Ellen Page.
Oh, huh.
Because she was modeled after Ellen Page. And
they didn't want her to look like Ellen Page?
Well, they threatened to sue because Ellen Page was in another game.
Oh, right. She was in that other one with the Psy stuff.
Yeah.
The Two Souls or something?
Yeah, Two Souls, which sucked.
It was a cool story.
Ellen Page playing guitar and taking a shower simulator.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that was a cool story, but it wasn't much of a game, really.
Yeah. It's like, did you ever want to play Ellen Page playing a Beck song? This is your game. I was like, what? No, I don't want to do that.
A lot of the gameplay in that amounted to some frustrating misdirection and basically doing prompts like Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, it's not. That's what all those games are.
I haven't played too many like that.
That's definitely one I haven't played twice.
Like,
there's a new one called Almost Human that I downloaded and I never played.
Does that get Ellen Page in it too?
It does not have Ellen Page. It has some other actors in it though.
Oh.
It's about robots. A robot uprising, I think.
About time. We got to deal with the real issues here. Robots and uprising. Read an article the other day that said the pandemic may actually spur on the wider adoption of robotic, like, workers instead of actual human workers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
There's going to be, I mean, especially since, you know, there'll be like a depression after this. Nobody's going to want to pay rent, so, and everybody's figuring out that they can work from home, so there's going to be a lot less actual office space, I bet.
Probably, yeah. I wonder how much of that's going to get converted. I mean, think how much office space could get converted to, like, living space or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's nobody in our building at the studio except for the magician memorabilia place. They still have been working like nothing's ever happened.
Well, that's because they keep the virus away with magic, dude.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I just thought they were being dumbasses.
No, they're magic, man. Come on. Mm-hmm. Of course they're going to keep working. I mean, they just got to make it disappear in a hat or something.
Mm-hmm.
They've got cabinets that take care of this stuff. I'm surprised the kids next door aren't still there.
They are.
You're kidding me.
I forgot to tell you that. I went by to pick up a box to mail something.
Yeah?
And I heard that fucking Hello Everybody song next door, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They're fucking having classes?
It seems a little,
inadvisable. That's not a sensual. That's not a sensual. Ooh.
Is it consensual?
These kids are essential.
These are my love sexy children.
Oh no, love sexy children. I forgot about them. It's been a while.
Yeah, well. Prince is gone, but not forgotten.
Prince is gone, but his love sexy children live on.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. So wait, when are they releasing the next Last of Us then?
I think it's next month. I think it's in June.
Wow. And that's going to be on PS4 then?
I guess. I don't know what the... there's another game, too, that's coming out early that I'd be interested in playing.
I got to look that up. Because I haven't been keeping up on like when the new system and stuff. Because I thought I'd probably bypass 4 and go to the next system. Either that or... Hope that
well, the next system probably won't be until next year, I'm sure, especially with all this crap going on.
Yeah, that or I was hoping that would come out and then drive down the price of 4, so I could like actually get a 4.
Mm.
I'm sure that prices of 4 are probably down pretty far right now anyway. I should just get one.
Sure, why not?
And then, you know, get a Last of Us and play the new one to get ready for the new one to come out.
New.
Nanu.
It's a Nunu.
It's a Bonono.
Bonona.
Eeples and Beninis?
I'm watching Mother of Tears right now.
That's the third one, right?
That's the third one. 90s? It was made no, 2000. 2000s. Like, yeah.
Asia so Argento was in it.
Asia Argento, his daughter, is in it, and it's still very much an Argento movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think I understand why people don't like latter-day Argento, and it's the reason why is it's clearly an Argento movie, but there's no more like storybook environment, like everything, like the set design and everything in his early movies. It is clearly like this is a weird dream of reality. This is not the way things actually look, and this movie looks like it's taking place in our world.
Yeah, Mother of Tears was definitely like a contemporary type movie.
Yeah, there are people walking around. These are like, they're real places, like a bus station with crowds and things like that. And people are acting like, well, there are actors that they're acting like they're in an Argento movie. There's fucking crazy Italian acting. But, the rest of it is pretty toned down, I guess.
Well, visually, yeah, I think so.
Well, visually, certainly. But then there's like crazy things like there's a fucking monkey chasing after this lady.
Yeah. It's not a horrible movie as far as
it's not. It's not goes. A horrible movie. And that's the thing. People like, well, you want to stay away from that stuff. And I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, I see why they're saying it. But it's not a bad movie by any stretch.
I think people are just disappointed in it.
Yeah. Because it doesn't look or feel like his old 70s and 80s movies. And I get that. He made something special that people are like still copying now. Like there's people are making retro horror movies to look like his movies then. And he's like, no, I'm not interested in that. I want to look like a real movie.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the, crap. I can't, now I'm blanking on the name. The one that takes place in the dance academy.
Suspiria.
Yeah. Was that Suspiria?
Yeah.
Okay. Suspiria. Yeah. That remake of it.
Yeah,
and I remember I haven't watched the whole thing. I've only like
it's good in a different way.
I just remember thinking like they took everything that actually made that a definitive,
yeah,
like Argento movie type of thing.
Yeah,
and just stripped it out.
They stripped it out, but they made something different. It's cool in a different way. It's not like I said, Argento stuff looks like horror fairy tales. Yeah. They look like a weird surreal world. And
Suspiria especially was very, I mean, all the lighting-based stuff.
Well, you know, Inferno is the same way.
Yeah. A lot of color cubes and heavy blocks of color and stuff in it.
Yeah, but the new one is...
looked really drab.
It is drab, but it's supposed to be. It's a different kind of movie. Like, I don't know if it needed to be made, but it's interesting in a different way. Like, if it was not... If the first Suspiria had never existed, this would still be a good and interesting movie.
So it's worth watching.
Yes.
Well, maybe I'll check
it out after. Tilda Swinton is working overtime, like three times as much, because she plays three different people. Like, including a dude. And actually, I didn't notice it was her until like halfway through the movie.
Dude, they're making a Last of Us TV show.
Wouldn't surprise me. They've already made it in several different forms.
Weird. Or maybe they're... Oh.
The Last of Us is a Walking Dead. Of course they've already made it.
Maybe these are just shorts. Sorry, I just happened to see it on IMDb. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess these are... these must be shorts of some sort. But yeah, so, anyway, Mother of Tears.
Yeah, but I'm just letting you know. There's still some crazy Argento shit in it. Like, the witches are insane.
It's got a typically weirdo sort of ending. You haven't gotten that far, though, right?
No, I have not.
It's not really going to spoil it to tell you that it's got that kind of ending, though.
Yeah. Well, I hope it does. I want it to.
I mean, it's in line with the rest of the movie, but it's still got that kind of thing to it.
And, you know, they keep talking about how they're kind of like spiritual sequels, but I feel like they're connected pretty tightly.
Well, there's not really direct...
There aren't characters that go from thing to thing, but, I mean...
You could believe they all take place in the same world, though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Because, the thing that ties them is the mythical stuff about it. I like Argento movies overall.
I do too. I've decided I do. I decided that I like Italian horror movies in general.
Mostly, yeah.
And I like them because of the shit that people could consider quote unquote bad. I love the dubbing. I love the bad translation and I love the overacting. I think it makes it, I think the weirdness makes you unbalanced from the get-go, so everything feels like a nightmare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're having a dream and people aren't talking in a way that you're used to and things don't look like reality, and that's what Italian movies are like.
Right. The thing that the movies that I like, the thing they mostly all share in common is just this sense of this gonzo over-the-topness that turns it into a complete fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even the ones that are just like straight murder mysteries are over the top and weird. Like the regular giallo stuff.
Yeah, the giallo stuff, I mean, it's great. Blade in the Dark and...
they really turn the drama up on them.
Yeah.
But not in a soap opera. Well, it is sort of a soap opera way. If they filmed it like soap opera, it would be like a soap opera.
They're definitely like that.
It's almost like it's like when stage actors get on film, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a lot of mugging to the crowd kind of thing.
Yeah. And even, you know, like Inferno, which is the horror, that's the witch movie, it's still a murder mystery because the witch is just running around stabbing people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's the same thing. It's a giallo.
Supernatural one, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy them. I think it's cultural. Again, we've talked about this before, where like I enjoy watching things from other cultures because they're foreign to me and makes them weirder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've noticed this before when I've seen like American remakes of foreign stuff I've liked, there's just something lacking in the American version a lot of times. Mm-hmm. That it's just like it's too straight. It's played too normal or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as much fun. It's like.
I concur, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, it's like having Charles Schulz interpret, like, you know, Mike Mignola or something.
That's a weird comparison.
I'm just trying to think of something weird that would be, you know, done by somebody who's pretty straight-laced, normal dude kind of thing. That was, I guess, I don't know why those were the examples I grabbed, but I guess because I consider Charlie Brown to be pretty white bread, I guess.
It is pretty white bread.
I enjoy it. I grew up with Charlie Brown. I like Charlie Brown. I'm not putting Schultz down. I'm just saying that was my standard of just normal American cartooning. Yeah. Wow. He's a thirsty guy.
He is very thirsty.
Just listen to the lapping in the distance. So, anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Going somewhere, I was going to say that.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. Oh, so I started watching, before I went to bed last night, I've never seen Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads movie.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
Yeah, I've seen clips from, on YouTube or whatever, people putting it on. And so I decided to actually watch it. And it's a concert film. So it's not, really a narrative film, I guess. But it's weird with this concert. It's actually pretty impressive because they start out with, just Burn on an empty stage.
Mm-hmm.
And, he comes out with a boombox and an acoustic guitar. He's like, I got a tape I want to play for you. And he turns it on, and it's just like a drum machine beat. And he starts playing along to it. And as he's playing, the stagehands are setting up the stage behind him for the show and stuff. Mm-hmm. And starting, laying down cable and starting up the risers and the dress and stuff like that. And then, so he's playing Psycho Killer. He gets done with that and goes through, an extended ending of it. And then Tina Weymouth?
Yep. Weymouth.
Then she comes out with just her bass, and it's just him and her playing together another song. And then eventually the drummer comes out, because they brought out the drums at this point on a riser and that. He comes out and starts playing with him on another song, and then eventually the other guitar player / keyboard player comes out. And all this while, they're still building up the set behind him. And
so not that much different from what he does now.
I don't know. I'm not super familiar with him. I see him pop up every now and then, as a news article. But I guess he released an album last year that was super political, I guess.
Now all of his band is, wireless. And they don't, even the drummer has, a mobile set. So they all walk around the stage separately from each other now while they're playing.
So I'm only, 20 minutes, 25 minutes into the movie, because that's where I left off last night when I finally got sleepy. It's just real interesting. The thing that kept popping in my head was, this is more than just going to see a concert. This is a performance,
Because
he was always weird and jerky on stage and stuff anyway. Anytime
They're art students. That's what they do.
Yeah. But it was just interesting. So I'm curious to finish that up. I put a bunch of music stuff in my queue, classic album type stuff, or that Phil Collins thing I told you about.
What Phil Collins thing?
It was one of those. I think the series is called Classic Albums, and they pick an album by an artist, and in this case, it was Phil Collins. I think it was Face Value. That was his first solo thing, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. So they talked about the recording of that, and then just a little bit of brief history, or his transition from just being in Genesis to doing that. And interviews with him talking about recording it and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And they're short. I think they're usually only about an hour or so long. And they'll play clips of stuff that was going on at time, concert stuff, or stuff if they have footage of in the studio and things.
Interesting.
The Phil Collins one was good. So I put in, there's a Rush one for, it was actually a double album for 2112 and then Moving Pictures. I'm not sure.
Wow.
I guess because those were both good. I guess because those were both landmark albums for him.
Yeah.
Then I put in one for.
What is this? Where is this?
They're on Amazon.
Okay.
It's let me pull up my watch list. By golly. Darn it. Anyway, but yeah, I pulled up a few other ones there. Just Like I said, they're pretty short, and I think the series is called Classic Albums.
Okay. You are being an asshole, Ninja.
Well, let him be cranky. He's loud. Where were some of the other ones I grabbed? Oh, I've never seen The Last Waltz, which isn't one of these classic albums.
You know what? That used to be on, like, HBO a lot when I was a kid, and I would always flip past it. I was like, oh, I can't deal with these old guys.
Well, I'm wondering if it'll finally answer my question of why everybody's, like, so in love with the band.
Yeah, I know, man. I feel the same way about a lot of artists that I'll make jokes and stuff, but you can tell it bothers people.
Yeah,
whenever I say that Tom Waits sounds like a hobo being beaten in an alley, people do not like it.
Well, gee, I wonder why.
Everybody talks about what a genius songwriter he is, and I guess. Certainly not getting what everybody else is.
I mean, there are
he
things
that like a lunatic. He sounds like a lunatic.
That's how I always felt about what was that crazy homeless guy that was, he came to popularity in the,
Wesley Willis?
Yeah. He was one of them.
Yeah. Well, they're the same thing to me in my mind.
Right. I didn't get the popularity of Wesley Willis for a minute there either.
Well, I think liking Wesley Willis was sort of like an ironic thing. I don't think people actually cared for his music as much as they thought it was kind of a cool underground thing.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess. But
he made the same song over and over again. And
seemed like it, didn't it?
No, he did, because, I mean, he was mentally ill.
I mean, I understand, like, the idea of outsider art. I just don't, like, but I didn't think it was all that interesting in that case. But, I don't know. Tom Waits, I guess. I've never really dived into Tom Waits because I couldn't get past the surface stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the band. I mean, the band has, I guess some good songs.
The band has songs that I enjoy.
I just never... I was always baffled by the widespread, love of them.
Well, I mean, they're...
How they were cited as such, an influential act. And
people love the Grateful Dead, too.
Yeah, but who says they modeled their thing after the Grateful Dead, though?
Pretty sure Fish would.
Yeah, except for, maybe Fish or something, but...
Widespread Panic. Man, it's been a while since I heard that band.
I mean, there's some stuff that I use Dylan as an example. Up into my late 20s, early 30s, I couldn't stand listening to Bob Dylan because of his voice.
Sure. I'm not super into Dylan either.
But man, I really liked
it. Really start hating on me now.
Well, but I really liked it when people would cover Dylan songs, so I recognized the fact that Dylan was a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could write a really good song because I liked it when other people did them. I just couldn't stand his voice.
The same is probably true with Waits.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Except I don't know, I've never heard anybody cover a Tom Waits song.
Rod Stewart famously did. It was extremely popular.
What was the song?
Downtown Train?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was I think that may have made top 10.
I probably heard it then. But yeah, eventually though, Dylan clicked for me at one point, and I was like, okay, once I got past his voice as being a thing, and just listen to it as part of the music, it was fine. And then from then on, I actually liked listening to Dylan as well as listening to other people doing Dylan songs. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. And I figure what the heck. I mean, it's a Scorsese directed thing. Might as well watch it. Last Waltz.
Yeah, sure. And like I said, these are things that I just don't vibe with, and I'll make a joke here and there and everywhere, but I don't begrudge people that do. Jim Terry, if you don't like stuff like that, he will he'll write you off. He's like, what's wrong with you? You're not an American or something some stupid thing like that. And I'm like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't know people, I mean, I didn't know adults still thought that way.
A lot of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't live and let live, I guess. I mean, I don't really, I'm not going to think less of you.
I used to think that way when I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
But fuck rap music.
At some point, like, I don't know. There's probably still certain situations where, like, I'll judge somebody's character by their, like, what they like.
It's a good indicator of things. Yeah, sure. But, yeah, that never gives you the whole picture.
But that just means probably I'm not really going to hang out with them. That doesn't mean I should tell them not to listen to what they want to listen to. Or
certainly not going to go to a concert with them.
Oh, no, because I probably wouldn't like the music they were going to see or whatever. Although, you know, a surprising amount of bands that I can't stand listening to recordings of are actually fun live. I bet. I bet they're based on the fact that I've seen bands that I've actually enjoyed live.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, because I've actually seen bands I've enjoyed live that I dismissed when I heard recordings of them. So I take that into account now when I'm on borderline on something. I bet they were fun live or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, so some of those other things. Yeah, the series is called Classic Albums. And okay. So besides that, Rush, 2112 and Moving Pictures. I watched that one that I told you about with the Phil Collins one. I've got a Peter Gabriel for the album So.
Okay.
And Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Damn the Torpedoes.
Okay.
And Steely Dan's Aha. Or Aja.
Aha. Aja.
Aha. Whatever it is. But yeah, so I've got those queued up. And those are more from that same series.
Steely Dan's another band I don't get the appeal of.
I can understand it. I mean, I really like them, but I can understand why people just wouldn't be fussed about them one way or the other, really. I like them in part.
And I guess that comes down to that probably comes down to the hatred that some people feel for them, is that they don't understand. They're like, I don't understand how you could like this.
Yeah. I don't understand how somebody could actually, I can understand how people just wouldn't be into it, but I don't understand how people could hate it.
Yeah.
Because at worst, they're inoffensive. You know, like they're not, because you can't knock the musicianship in it.
That's true.
It's top notch.
They're very good musicians. In fact, I mean, Steely Dan songs are notorious for being difficult to play.
Well, and they everything I've ever read about the studio experience with them was that they would go over a song over and over. They'd do like 100 takes of something to get it right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I mean, so, and I've seen them live a couple times, and they were so super tight live even.
Yeah.
But it,
You've seen them live?
Well, you know, it was later days, yeah. But
yeah, wow.
In the 90s. But twice I saw them, I think.
You go by yourself?
No, I went with my friend Brian. He likes Steely Dan, too.
Does he? Really?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing where, for me, it's not just the songs, which I think they're good songs,
mm-hmm.
but it's the musicianship in it. It's the writing and, like, how things are put together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both aesthetically pleasing to me and impressive from a technical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's the same. You can say the same thing about Rush, for that matter. I mean,
sure.
Rush, I could actually see why people would hate them, though.
I see why people don't like Rush as well.
Yeah. I mean, because they do have some things that would be really annoying to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Steely Dan would cause, why that would cause any strong emotions, like strong negative emotions in people.
Well, I mean, there's a famous movie where they make fun of the Eagles, you know, Lebowski, and that's pretty funny.
Yeah, Eagles are another one. I mean, I could see why you wouldn't like them, but I can't see why you'd hate them.
It's funny. It is funny to have a violent reaction like that to the Eagles. I think that's probably why it's funny. It's because they are so innocuous. It's just like that whole like 70s like landlocked California cowboy vibe that was going on. It's like, why would you even, why does this bother you so much?
Speaking of the Eagles, though, that brings me to another thing I've been thinking about, because off and on I've been watching these like country romance movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out what country is. What defines country now?
It's very difficult now
because
to define country, because country,
it's essentially pop music for the most part.
It's very much pop music, especially now. Country now is there because it's a huge business now in I mean, it always was to a degree, but
yeah, I mean, it's been a record machine for
Nashville
decades.
Nashville is Hollywood in the South,
mm-hmm.
and they it's all about pop music down there. They'll say that it's about country, but it's about pop music, and it's all about songwriting. And
well, and it's but I mean, as far as that goes, it's been all about songwriting because I mean, you know, even back in the 60s and 70s, you'd go down there to you'd have songwriters, you know, and performers and songwriters. You know?
Right. And they know that the money is in crossover stuff.
Yeah.
And even the country stuff is so polished because, you know, they don't want rough stuff. They want the image of rough stuff. Like the lyrics can, it's almost the most popular country stuff is where they make fun of old country tropes. You know what I mean? It's almost postmodern country in a way now.
Well, it's like, I remember there was that, some stuff I remember hearing a few years ago that was basically like drinking in the back of my truck, but it sounded kind of like hip hop.
Yeah.
But it was
country. Yeah. It's, here's what it is. You know how, I don't know if it was like this where you grew up, but when I was growing up in the 80s, you know, all the redneck white kids were kind of embarrassed that they liked rap. And stuff like that. And that kind of thing gives them an excuse to like it and be unapologetic about it.
I kind of thought that went away in the 90s, though. Like,
what?
I thought it was okay for country guys to like rap in the 90s.
It did. Kid Rock kind of fixed that. But now I'm saying that there are no – I don't think there are really – I mean, it's stupid to say this because of course there are. But the genre line is – tissue paper thin now in general.
Well,
there are things that are definitive within genres, but people aren't as married to a certain style anymore.
And I mean, I'll grant my internal idea of what country music is pretty narrow because of just what I grew up hearing.
Mm-hmm.
What defined country for me, I mean, was,
well, late 70s, early 80s country was still hee-haw, man.
Well, it was still like, I mean, you know, you had Cash and Waylon Jennings and you know, Hank Williams Sr. and you know, Kenny Rogers even, which he crossed over into pop. But, you know, like still all that was country to me. Even like Oak Ridge Boys and stuff I didn't really like. although, you know, Elvira was pretty popular when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was a crossover.
Sure. But, or, you know, even going back to like.
One of those guys just died recently.
Going back to like cowboy country, like New Riders of the Purple Sage or something. Like,
I think you know what country is.
Well,
you just.
That's what country was.
By what's playing now.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not saying like, again, this isn't where I'm saying like, this isn't country or people shouldn't listen because the music evolves. That's fine. I just don't know what makes country country now when it just sounds like top 40 pop or hip hop to me. I mean, I guess lyrically,
I'm telling you that I don't think there's as much of a difference in genres anymore.
So why is it still called country then?
Because we need categories.
Right. I mean, but there's gotta be something that still defines it as country.
Well, I'm sure they all have, they all go in their Pro Tools and they's like, well, here's, we got to put a pedal steel in the background.
Yeah, or maybe like a fiddle back there somewhere.
We need a twang, a fiddle, and they put a fiddle or a pedal steel, and they up the treble on their guitar, so it's twangy.
Because like even the vocals, it used to be, all right, like in the 90s, this is why Eagles led me into this. In the 90s, country to me just started sounding like Southern rock. And it didn't even really sound like country to me anymore. It was Southern rock called country. Except I guess it was a little rougher in the lyrics, like.
I don't know if I noticed that.
Well, it did. I mean, it all started sounding like, you know, Eagles and stuff. It was rock. It was essentially rock music instead of being country music.
Hmm.
And, I mean, listen to, like, anything that was on the jukebox back then, like the Prop Me Up Against the Jukebox Before I Die, or, maybe not Thunder Rolls, although that could have been a rock ballad. But, you know, the other Garth Brooks songs. Like that were
a Garth Brooks song.
They were essentially just country rock.
You're a country rock.
Which, okay, again, was fine. But it, you know, I'm like, well, why don't they just call it country rock? Like, Why was it still country?
I don't think this is as hard a thing.
But,
I think you're being obtuse.
But again, though, the thing that even with that kind of change in the 90s, like the singers vocally and stuff, they all still had like twangs to their voices and stuff.
Yes, that's true.
And that's, I think, where I'm getting more confused with the modern stuff is because a lot of them the vocals don't even sound country anymore. There's not any of that lilt to it or twang to it or, I saw some country band, this was a little while back, it was on like Austin City Limits, I can't remember who they were, but they were billed as a country band and they straight up dressed like hip hop people.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm just like, it was confusing. Like,
well, the band I was in when I was up here, they considered themselves alt country.
Well, right. That was a thing that was going on at the time.
Alt country. And I was like, I don't like this. I don't know what this is that you're talking about. And then they would say, well, like so-and-so and so-and-so. I was like, I don't know who that is. And they'd be like, what do you mean you don't know who that is?
Which, I mean, at the time, probably alt country sounded more like country than country did.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
It was definitely more influenced by the roots of it rather than what was going on.
Yeah. And
it's funny that it was called alt country when it was actually probably more like original country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's alt country because the country at the time.
It's like calling Coke classic alternative Coke.
Yeah. Well, I guess, that's why they called it Coke Classic, though, is because, the new Coke had taken over, and so Coke Classic was the alternative Coke. I just I mean, because I like labels. I like labels on things. I like being able to explain to somebody, give them a label of something, and they know what I'm talking about without me having to go into a big technical description of what the music sounds like or something. If I say it's, post-punk, borderline industrial. You know what I'm saying there.
No, I don't. when people do that shit, that gets my goat too.
Okay.
Don't give me all, because when people say butt rock, I'm like, no, I don't know what that is.
But that's, know what hair metal is.
Yeah, because that's a little more descriptive.
And you know what cock rock is, right?
No, that sounds like the same thing.
Oh, but they're not.
I'm saying you're getting a little too nitpicky at that point, is what I'm saying.
But that's what language is for, to be descriptive.
I think it's superlative. Is that the word I should be using? I think it's a little, it's too much.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I like labels.
Obviously.
I like, a place for everything and everything in its place. It helps things stay organized.
You're organized.
Your face is organized with your body.
I'm going to organize your face. I'm going to disorganize your face. You're going to be real upset when I disorganize your face. Face.
Ooh, faced.
Faced. That's my favorite Eli Roth anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a professor of being a dog.
Being a dog?
Party man. Oh, no. Somebody's calling me. I don't know who it is. How do I tell us to go away? Go away. Sorry. Hey, do we have an email?
I didn't know we'd been talking that long.
We have been talking that long.
We do have emails.
Hey!
John from Tennessee writes, "Hope all is well with you guys, or as good as it can be considering everything going on. The show Crank was talking about last week has to be Ghost Rider." That's what I said. Okay. Haven't thought about that show in quite a while. Definitely one of my favorite PBS shows growing up.
I'm going to look it up.
The show that I... What?
I'm going to look it up. Was Ghost Rider one word?
Yeah, and it's writer, as in it writes.
Right.
It would send them messages. The ghost would send them messages, like on a piece of paper. It would write it. Hence, writer.
I want to see if any of these pictures of people look familiar. Go ahead, though. Sorry.
The show that I can never remember is one about a boy that turned into a race car when he got hot. That's Turbo Teen, dude. Do you guys remember this, or did I have some sort of fever dream when I was a child? Yeah, it's Turbo Teen.
It was the Safe for American Sexuality version of Rama One Half.
Yeah. Dave Roman, I think, the comic creator, made a really funny kind of parody of that called Teen Boat. It was about a guy that turned into a boat.
Was it? Did he only turn into a boat when he was dry, though?
I don't remember.
No, that would be funny. Like, whenever he got wet, he just turned back into a person again.
As always, thanks for the podcast, and there's no such thing as too much guitar or music talk. Have a good one, John.
But let's talk about guitar. Well, thanks, John.
Thanks. Henrik from Denmark is back.
Hi.
He says, hi, Crank Mike, and probably no other people.
No.
I know it's been a while since he was on, but I just wanted to say that Dave Stokes made for a great guest. If you can get John Suntress on sometime, I think that would be also good.
Does John go on other people's shows still?
he's been on a tear lately. I mean, he's been making a lot of podcasts since he's been in quarantine.
Well, I know he was doing the thing with the Artin. And
yeah, he does still, because I was on it last week.
Oh, yeah, podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, they still do it.
I haven't talked to John in a while.
Yeah, maybe we should. The problem with John talking with John is that he doesn't stop talking.
You kind of just gotta turn it loose and let him go.
Yeah, we all know how. Yeah, I'd just have to hang up. You'd have to let me hang up because I won't be on here for that long.
Oh, did you know that the actress that played Ellie Creed in the original Pet Sematary was in Ghost Rider?
No, I did not know that.
I just saw it on IMDb.
I saw on Twitter that Mike has recently watched Hudson Hawk. I'm curious to hear whether it still holds up. I remember it being very fun back in the day. It does hold up. In fact, it would probably be better received if it were released today than when it did come out. And also, I just forgot how weird that movie is, because I don't know if you've seen it recently.
I'm trying. Which one is Hudson Hawk?
Hudson Hawk is the one where he's the thief, and he gets out of jail, and there's this crazy conspiracy with the Catholic Church, and he has to steal this Leonardo da Vinci device. And
I don't remember it at all. I'm not sure if I ever saw it.
It's insane. But the thing is, for the first...
Oh, it's a Steven D'Souza written movie.
First 20 minutes of it, it's like a serious movie. It's like you think this is just going to be a action comedy, but then it gets super weird and cartoonish.
Hmm. Good cast.
To the point that there's like cartoon sound effects and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And there's tons of famous actors. Well, if they weren't famous at the time, became famous.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's got a good cast.
Yeah. So yeah, I recommend watching it because it's just crazy. I've been watching The Great on Hulu, which is a comedy very loosely based on the rise of Catherine the Great as the Empress of Russia. It can be a little slow, but overall it's a fun watch. I've thought about watching that.
I haven't heard of it until now.
That is all for this week, Henrik from Denmark. That's a short one for Henrik.
Well, thanks.
David Balsley writes, hey, David. Been wondering how you guys are. Hi, Mike and Crank. Mike, happy birthday. Hope you have a great one. Thank you, David. It was a great one. Follow-up question. Have either of you guys played Penny Can?
Penny Can!
It looks like fun. Have there been raging Penny Can battles at 4-star? What is Penny Can?
It's a Cougar Town reference.
Oh.
Penny Can! That's what you say when you make it.
Is this one of like those made-up games?
Yeah, it's a running joke.
A New Girl?
I don't even remember a game.
New Girl has this crazy game that, like, you don't know the rules. It's always some kind of weird-ass... I forgot what the name of that game is.
Is that show still on?
No.
Oh, okay. Penny Can was like a running joke from the first season on. And at one point it got real big and went worldwide. And the thing is if the game is exactly what it sounds like, you have a big empty paint can and you throw pennies in it.
That's probably all it is, right?
That's the game. but part of what made the game weird, though, is that like there were rules for different kinds of missing the can. Like if you threw it and then like there was a spinner, they would do something to each other. Like I don't remember what the actual rules were because they were kind of complicated and they were made up every time. But like, or if like he did a bounce off the rim, you know, there was like an ear flick involved or something, or like just all kinds of weird rules for missing. And then if you made it, of course, and then, you know, it's not like you're just standing over the can. You know, the can's off in the distance a little ways.
Yeah.
So if you made it, then everybody would go, Pentagon!
Thank you for the podcast. All the best, Kate, David, and Rosemary.
Well, thanks
I hope they're not all listening to this.
Thanks for the Cougar Town reference. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a good show.
I know you love Cougar Town.
I finished watching it, sixth season. Like, the last few seasons were picked up by TBS because ABC dropped it. And they reduced the seasons to, I think it was like 13 episodes apiece or something like that. And so the last few seasons fly by pretty quick. And the last season was a little sad because they got rid of one of the main characters because he had left to go be on some sci-fi produced thing that I don't even remember. It was something called Ascension.
Oh, wow.
I don't even remember it. But, yeah, so it was missing one of the main characters in the last season, which made it kind of sad. But he showed up in a couple of cameos and an iPad, which was kind of funny. But, yeah, I mean, but still, season one on, like, that show was funny. It was good. It was ridiculous, and I didn't care that it was ridiculous. And, yeah, just a lot of fun. I mean, it was done by the same writers or the creators of Scrubs.
Yeah, that makes sense. It felt like that.
So, yeah, I'm serious. Like, if you need a laugh, just watch that show, because it's funny.
I might do that. I might do that, Crank.
Yeah.
David.
I mean, just keep in mind, it's dumb. I mean, it's...
I like dumb. I talk to you.
Thanks, buddy. But it's supposed to be dumb, that's what I'm saying.
I own you. I own you!
Okay.
Yesterday, there were a lot of people putting little notes on my Facebook wall, and I noticed that I had, you know how you could, like, save certain dates as, like milestones?
Okay.
And I saw that, like, I had put, like, June 2001 started ruling you.
What did happen in June 2001?
I don't know. I think I just randomly said I started ruling everybody on June 2001. Hmm. Man, I love saying shit like that. It reminds me of like being in sixth grade so much.
You know what?
I'll be 50 in 3 years.
You know what? You would like Cougar Town because that's exactly the kind of stuff.
I rule you. I rule you.
Yes.
I laughed out loud in the Ultimate Spider-Man video game.
Yeah.
Because there's a part in it where you race the Human Torch. And at the end, if you win, Spider-Man lands on the building. He goes, I own you. And I was like, yes, Spider-Man is awesome.
Wait, how could Spider-Man beat the Human Torch?
Yeah, that's the thing. Sorry. You got to swing real fast, man.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, Human Torch, he's like a...
He's flying, man.
He's a flying jet engine guy.
Well, nobody ever talks about how fast he can go. We just know he can get super hot. He can go Nova.
Right. So, I mean, if he's expelling all that in one direction, though, that's pretty fast.
Feels like it, but we don't know.
Because, I mean, that's part of his power. It's not just to get really hot. He can direct where the hot goes. He directs the hot.
I direct the hot. Let's get something straight.
He's bringing hot back.
I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't admit that I direct the hot.
I'm not sure where you're going with that, but sure.
That was good. I like that.
Well, I try. So what's hotter, like the Human Torch or Superman's heat vision?
Well, I mean, the Human Torch can go Nova, whatever that means.
Right. Like, is there an upper limit to the Human Torch's heat? I guess there would have to be.
Yeah, it's Nova, which is where he becomes like a little mini star.
Right. Well, I mean, an exploding star, so that's even hotter than a star.
Yeah. I don't know. They say it's that they call it him going Nova, but I don't know what the technical parameters of that are.
And what about Cyclops laser beams?
They are not heat.
I know. I just want to provoke that response.
Oh, right. That does get people bent out of shape.
They should have just never colored them.
Because it doesn't make sense that they're not heat, right?
Well, they should have never colored them red or ruby. I know they're ruby, but I'm saying that they wouldn't.
It doesn't make sense that a ray, like energy coming out of your eyes, is not somehow creating a form of heat.
Yeah,
right?
It's just force.
It doesn't make sense at all.
It's non-solid force.
Yeah, that doesn't, that's not a thing. That's not a thing that ever existed. Even in comic books, it sounds dumb. You might as well be shooting frogs out of your eyes.
or water. I mean, because...
Yeah, water, frog eyes. I like water eyes, too.
I mean, because they use water in jets to cut stuff.
Too. I'm crybaby. And you just like, pour water out of your eyes.
Floods things. Yeah. I imagine that probably they didn't make him laser eyes just to avoid any confusion with Superman?
I don't know. They're probably plenty. They're other characters. A Martian Manhunter has laser eyes.
I mean, and right, I know Superman's eyes aren't laser eyes. They're heat vision. But
well, that's it. It's six and a half a dozen the other, really. I mean, what is a laser?
Well, laser is not really heat either, though, is it? That's just cohesive light.
A laser will burn your ass, yeah.
Right, but it's not. A laser is
focused light, isn't it?
Yeah, but a laser itself isn't hot, though, right?
I think it is.
Like the. Well, okay.
If it's intense enough, yeah.
I don't really know. Josh would be chewing my ass out right now.
He'd chew both of our asses out.
You dummies! You're
well, both... he's never really...
You're both idiots.
No, he never berates anybody for being stupid.
Well, not
he'll
directly.
Make you feel, he'll do it in other ways.
He does it with his inflection of his voice, though.
Yeah. He'll make fun of you, but he won't berate you. He won't call you stupid.
Yeah. He just makes sure you know you are, though.
Yeah, he'll make sure you know.
Like microwaves. Microwaves are hot, right? Well, no, microwaves themselves aren't hot. They just agitate movement and particles, which causes heat.
I'm going to particle you.
I think that's how that works.
I don't know.
Man.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist.
Explain magnets.
Damn, I can't. I gotta go to the gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh man, there wasn't a Juggalo gathering planned anytime soon, was there?
No, they canceled it.
I mean, so there was one planned.
Yeah, they canceled it.
Poor Juggalos.
It's fine.
There's not a lot of places they can go where they can, you know, can be accepted.
Except, yeah, well, they're accepted in their houses.
Right. True. True.
Just sitting there looking out the window, all painted up.
Sad eyes.
Mm-hmm. They've crying.
They've got painted tears.
They got painted tears, that's true.
Yeah. Sad Juggalos.
Sad Juggalos.
I bought this record.
I remember when my grandparents, they had a sad Juggalo painting in the bathroom.
I was going to say, I bought this record.
Sad Juggalo cross stitch.
I bought this record in a lot the other day. Or not the other day, a while back, but I was looking at it the other day. And I haven't opened it yet. I'm afraid to open it, but it's this album called, it's like Songs for Children or something, some shit. But the album cover is these two sad hobo clown children.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's a strange looking album cover. And like, the record's still sealed, and I'm kind of afraid to open it. Because Lord only knows what's in there. But, because it's got.
You cut out.
It's got little sad Juggalo children in it. Well, I seem to have lost Mike, so I guess that's it for this week. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. I heard you say, oh no, you cut out, and then you disappeared. Now I tried to call you a couple times, and it just gave me that pinging sonar sound without answering anything, or ringing.
Weird.
And then I got your IM for Skype, and I started trying to IM you back, and then... You called me,
mm-hmm.
And I picked it up, and then that didn't work, and then I called you, and it worked fine.
Well, we need to stop then.
Yeah. I was actually in the process of recording a thing saying, it seems like I lost Mike.
No. Seems like you lost me. Bye.
I nearly lost you now. All right, then. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Nope.
Well, in that case, you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. Go visit Instagram, see what we're up to. Mike posts a lot of movies. I post a lot of records.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally we post other stuff too. And yeah, check in on the 4-Star Studios folks. They've all been posting stuff on Instagram too. Well, I haven't seen Josh Emmons. I don't even know if I follow Josh Emmons. Is he on Instagram?
Yeah, Gemmons. We should have more warm-ups going up. Sean had a bunch in advance. I don't know if why he hasn't been keeping up with them.
Oh, he's been busy with them cards.
Yeah.
Which are looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should actually probably call. You guys technically talked about getting back in the studio again or anything?
They're going to lift a lot of the oh, he does have one. Just went up.
Oh, there's a new warm-up?
Yeah.
Hey, go to YouTube.
He's just not good at promoting it.
Oh. So, yeah, you can go to YouTube and look for the warm-up. 4-Star Studio. Anyway, so, yeah, they're lifting?
They're lifting a lot of stuff in June.
Okay.
And so we'll probably, I feel safe going to our studio because we rarely have contact with people. It's going out to eat and stuff, the lunch stuff that we do,
right.
Which, I mean, we can change those habits, but.
Well, as long as you stay under, at least, I'm assuming they're going to apply this to there, but like here, it's as long as you're under parties of 10.
Yeah.
You can still eat together.
We'll be fine. We'll see. I have that guitar setup class rescheduled for the middle of June, and I'm kind of worried about that, but
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, we should probably, try to get in touch with, have somebody, other people from the studio on next time. Just to kind of, because we haven't really had, I haven't had any contact with them, really, except for just Instagram and stuff.
Okay.
So, okay. Well, we hope you all have a good weekend, and just remember, Mike's older than you are.
Yeah, a lot older.
Goodbye.
Bye.